Hey everyone, welcome to the Peace Alliance Department of Peacebuilding Campaign third Wednesday call. This call is the one right before our advocacy day, so we have dedicated it to training on how to conduct a meeting with our members of Congress and their staff, because we're encouraging people to do that on Monday and Tuesday or whatever day next week works for them after we receive all of the good peace building inspiration on Sunday for those of us who already got that on our calendar to participate in. So, Kendra, do you want to take it from here, or do you want me to?
We were just going to each of us check in with our names and our location and what we hope to get out of this call. So I'll start off. My name is Kendra, and I'm in Northern California and with the Department of Peace Building Committee. And what I hope to get out of this call is more confidence for when we meet with our Congress members next week. Somebody else want to go?
My name is Pat Coya. I'm in Northern Nevada. And I guess I, too, would just like to learn some rules of thumb regarding the call to the congressman, which I'm involved in a peace group here in Reno. And another lady is actually setting things up, but I thought I'd check in here to see what I can learn and get some more confidence, too.
Welcome. Good to have you. Somebody else?
Okay, I'm Patrick McLaughlin. I'm a retired lieutenant colonel from the Army, and I want to get a little bit more information and background on the peacebuilding HR 1111 bill, and I'm signed up for Sunday, so I'm hoping to get more information and learn about how to do the meeting with Congress and staff and to get a more familiarity with the House bill.
Great.
I'm from Philadelphia area.
Oh, Philadelphia. Okay. We did have a training last month and about the bill. And you can access that when you go to the Peace Alliance homepage and then click on the big Department of Peace Building link kind of in the middle of the homepage for the Peace Alliance, peacealliance.org. But we'll be talking some about the bill tonight.
Oh, great.
Who else would like to check in?
Okay. Good evening. My name is Upeme. I am calling from Silver Spring in Maryland. I am an ambassador for peace, and I'm so passionate about the knowledge I'll gain from this meeting, which will enhance my peace advocacy. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us again. Glad to have you here. And I think there are other people on the line.
I'm Beth Blick from St. Paul, Minnesota, and I'm interested in finding out what's going on with the Department of Peace bill in Congress and where it's possibly going into the Senate, since it's been a while since I've been on a phone call.
Thank you, Beth. Good to have you. Nancy, how about you?
Yes, I'm Nancy Merritt. I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area in California. What I hope to get is some peace of mind. Just generally about all of this. I think we're all getting there, and it's exciting to have everybody on the call and interested in this.
Thank you, Nancy. And Fernando?
Yes, hi, my name is Fernando Andrade. I'm in the state of Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm an intern with Peace Alliance. I am a mediator by profession, and I'm at Kennesaw State University getting my master in international conflict and peace building. What I wanted to get out of here is to get to know a lot more people and contribute the best I can to this work that you are doing. I think is very important and needed, especially now.
Thank you.
And what I want to get out of this call is more practice.
More practice. Thank you. And Barry?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm a little tardy.
We were asking who you are, where you're from, and what you need to get out of the call.
Yeah, so my name is Barry. I'm from New York, and I've sort of been just observing a bit. I am a mindfulness teacher and a meditation teacher, and I heard about the organization and this call, and I'm just really interested in what Peace Alliance is doing. So I'm just looking to listen and learn tonight.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Charles?
Hear me?
Yes.
I'm just interested in world peace and wanting more kindness in the world. And
can't hear you.
Oh, you can't hear me?
I can't, yeah.
Soft, if you could talk closer to your mouthpiece or computer.
I'm just a guy that wants world peace and more kindness in the world. And this looks like an organization that is doing that kind of a thing, doing that kind of work. And so that's how I ended up here.
Welcome. Thank you for coming. And I don't know if anybody else has joined.
I think we've heard, I didn't say what I wanted to get out of the call yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Maybe someone else will join while I'm speaking. So I'm always looking for more practice, and I'm looking forward to the role play. Because I always learn something from a role play. And having this recorded so that other people can watch it online afterwards. So just getting a lot of good information into the call and being in it. Thank you, Kendra.
Okay, so we generally start our meetings and even our meetings with members of Congress, we do a little connection practice. Sometimes when we're actually in D.C. or outside of a meeting in our own home areas, we stay out in the hall briefly. We just and remember those days when we could give each other a hug.
Oh,
we circle and do this deep breathing exercise. Let's do this together now. Some heart math. And what it is doing is trying to come up our center of wisdom and consciousness in the second brain, the heart brain. So if I invite you to just sit and straighten out your body, feet flat on the floor, head back over your shoulders, and just breathe really deeply. I like to call them belly breaths. And for the next three breaths, imagine that the breath is going into your heart on the inhale, and out through your heart, through the exhale. So that we are relaxing our body, relaxing our brain, and letting our heart take over. Mm-hmm. and sharing that energy with one another. Thank you. And so I'm going to ask Karen to fill us in about Sunday's events.
I know at least some of the people on the call now are registered, and I've put a couple of links in the chat box for the Department of Peace page and also for the podcast for the first training call. So on the Department of Peace page, you can find the registration link if you haven't already registered. It is, I always have to double check all the times here, but I believe it's 9 to 3 and noon till 6 Eastern time. Yeah, 9 to 3 Pacific, noon to 6 Eastern. So we have some phenomenal speakers, and some will be live and some will be via recording. I'm just going to go through the list of names in order really quickly. Barbara Lee, Congressman Barbara Lee, who is the lead co-sponsor on the bill. Former Congressman Dennis Kucinich, who was the first co-sponsor on the bill back in 2001. Rita Marie Johnson, who was integral in Costa Rica when they were developing their Ministry of Peace and Justice, I believe it's called. I could be wrong, but they've incorporated that in their government.
Justice and peace.
Justice and peace. I just like to put peace first, but justice is important too. Can't have one without the other. Okay, and then on our beloved community segment of the event, we have Cynthia Gilliam, who's worked with the children and other generations in Colorado, an advocate for the Department of Peace Building. Azeem Kamisa, who's done some fantastic work and has been with the Peace Alliance for quite some time. Marianne Williamson, initial co-founder of the Peace Alliance back when it first started. And let's see, I'm missing my international page here. Get that in front of me. Then we have Ambassador Chowdhury from the UN, who is the founder of the Global Movement for the Culture of Peace, which is significant. And then we have Global Alliance for Ministries and Infrastructures of Peace representatives from Canada, Dr. Saul Arbus, someone working on a South American regional GAMIP, Alicia Cabezudo, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And then the gentleman from Nigeria, who is also the president of GAMIP, Prince Asumin Irene, who's coming with us through a pre-recorded message, and Dr. Dot Maver, who was one of our first executive directors of the Peace Alliance and has gone on to found the National Peace Academy and so much more in her life. Just great examples of people building bridges, not walls, in the world.
Thank you, Karen. And Nancy, would you fill us in about Advocacy Days? Just an overview.
Advocacy Days. Yes. So Advocacy Days is part of our cycle of advocating for peace building and a Department of Peace, which we usually start in the spring with Season for Nonviolence. And then go to Mother's Day, Peace Wants a Piece of the Pie visits to local offices. And then we advocate by phone and email in the summer and the fall. But our biggest event is Advocacy Days, which we've gone to Washington, D.C. for many years now around International Day of Peace. And we visit as many members of Congress and senators as we can. Last year, we actually visited around 200 offices. And the main purpose, of course, is to ask for them to co-sponsor Department of Peacebuilding and to talk about other peacebuilding priorities. So we're doing it this year. by the program Karen just talked about. And also on Monday and Tuesday by we will have some meetings with legislators via Zoom.
Yeah. And let me just say for that, when you're scheduling meetings with members of Congress, we have that virtual conference room kind of reserved, so you can tap into that or do your meetings on your own, either way. And then if you do want to tap into the Zoom conference, then email nancy@peacealliance.org and she'll get you on the schedule. So we're not overlapping meetings.
Or if you want to join us with one of the pre-scheduled meetings with members of Congress, you can let Nancy know as well.
So I could just give a, we currently have at least three confirmed meetings with a representative from Pennsylvania, Susan Wild, a representative from Ohio, Tim Ryan, and a representative from Texas, Eddie Bernice Johnson, will be meeting with staff members for all of those.
Thank you. So somebody, I think it was Charles, is from Pennsylvania?
Patrick's from the Philadelphia area. I'm in Jenkintown, Pennsylvania.
So that might be good. Okay. Next, we were just going to talk about talking points we can use when we're meeting with members of Congress. Talking points about the bill, talking points about peace building in general. When we first started going to meet with members of Congress, they did not know about restorative justice at all. We would ask if they had already learned about it, and most of them had not. Now it's just very common. So what we do is try to educate people not only about our bill, but about peace building in general. So this year, what I did was to create the talking points for the why a Department of Peace Building is focused on all of the things that are happening in our culture and our society. The purpose of the bill is to create a culture of peace. And by having a Department of Peace Building at cabinet level, then that would be an institutionalizing this priority of peace and peace building within the administration. But unlike some of the other departments, this would be a coordinating agency, a coordinating cabinet level department. So that it wouldn't be, the idea of it would be to put peace building in action by connecting with all the other agencies of the other departments and offering information about peace building policies or programs that are effective in their particular working area. Collaborating and coordinating. Meanwhile, they would be the collector of all this information for all of us, because the bill is designed by Dennis Kucinich and continued by Barbara Lee to be the coordinator and promulgator of peace from the ground up, peace within ourselves, peace in our families, peace in our schools, peace in our communities, and then all the way up to national peace and international peace. So a large part of the interest in our parts is not only world peace, but we need to create a culture of peace. And somebody has coined that phrase that we need to create a culture of peace before we can export it. And I thought that was a great idea. What we're learning about in this time of our of the pandemic, and it's uncovering some of the divisions and inequities in our culture. Racism, sexism, all of those isms and other isms, and the division between our parties and our thinking, politically thinking. And there's a lot of hostility out there. And so what we want to do when we're meeting with member of Congress is to be peace building in action. So we want to be a connecting person or a group and connect with them. So in the talking points this year, I put a lot of information about one of the things that always comes up or often comes up is that the Department of Peace, members of Congress think of the Department of Peace as the State Department. And we don't think that's the case. And I've written down lots of facts about why that's the case. But one of the main things is that definitely there are peace-building arms within the State Department, no question about that, and diplomacy. But they also use funding for military, foreign militaries, and diplomacy that involves arms trading. And we don't think of that as peace, exporting peace and peace-building. So we support and the State Department, but also want to improve the emphasis on building peace. And the military have told us that they would like to have a strong peace-building arm in the government, because when they go into countries, and they're called upon to be peace builders, they're not trained for that. And so they often hire consultants, and we feel like we need much more. You hear how I'm stuttering around, and I just want to tell you that this is part of, when you meet with a member of Congress, they don't expect a professional lobbyist. So they expect are very accepting, I guess, of what I'm saying is they accepting people who are volunteers like all of us. That we may not be glib, but we can prepare. And that's what we're doing tonight, is we're preparing. So I wanted to just, in my talking points, say how awareness of the problems in our society are becoming more visible. And not only that, but people are understanding that it's institutional within our country. We need to create a whole new system. And so those words were not ever spoken by people, that we had institutional violence. I know within peace circles, yes. But now I'm hearing it, and I'm guessing that you're hearing that in conversations, that we need to reboot. We need to reboot our culture. And many efforts are being made around that issue. And so in the talking points, I emphasize all the good things that are happening, all the education and self-education that is going on, all the new awareness, all the changes being proposed in our culture, in our laws, and that are being adapted. So I encourage you to look at that, because that's not necessarily going to be your talking point, but you might find something in there that you are passionate about, or you might want to read the bill yourself and then find out how the bill relates, HR 1111, relates to what your particular peace passion is. Some of us, it's for racism. Some of it's about ageism. Some of it, it's about sexism. Some of it, no, race, justice, reform, all of those things. Whatever your particular passion is, it will come across more loudly when it's heartfelt. And if you can tell even a short story about your personal experience and how that affected you, that is much more memorable by the members of Congress. And then, so the process is that we start with thanking the person for meeting with us, and often starting out with thanking the member of Congress passing on, if we're meeting with a staff member, passing on to them what we appreciate about their member of Congress. And so that might mean that you take a little time to search around on their website and find out what committees they serve on, find out what they're proudest of, because they will post that on their website. And so there's always something, even in the most pro-war person, there's always something that you can find on their website that we want to appreciate. And if nothing else, we appreciate their service, because those members of Congress, as we have learned, work really hard. They do not lay back. They work really hard. So we can appreciate that. And so we want to start with that on the good foot. And then we introduce ourselves. And in that introduction, we not only provide information about ourselves, but perhaps what you want to get from, why you're supporting the Department of Peacebuilding. Because since this is a bill to create a culture of peace, there's some aspect of peace in that legislation that relates to what you're talking about, that what you're passionate about. Even if it's, you know, agriculture or whatever it is, there's always a peace-building aspect. So you want to find that and include that in your self-introduction, being mindful of the time that the person is allowing for us. Most meetings last about a half an hour. So you want to allow people in your group, and it's helpful if you are in a group, even if it's just three people. It just shows that you took the time to organize, to come to that meeting, and to bring people that you can share that conversation with. And then we always try to include that legislator or the congressional aide in that conversation. So we go around the room saying what we're interested in and why we're supporting the Department of Peacebuilding. And then we usually ask that person how they came to be in that office. Not the legislator, but yeah, both of them. Ask what drew them to their work. And that often leads to very interesting conversations, and conversations that then we can tag onto if they say that they had the background in their schooling, and or they developed a passion for peace when they were a young person, you know, we can tag on to that and respond to that, include them in the conversation. And then we always have an ask, what we call an ask, which is where we're asking them, it depends on the person or the member of Congress, if they have, if they are not a co-sponsor of the bill, we want to ask them to become a co-sponsor of the bill. If they're not ready to do that, perhaps they're ready to read the information you've got for them or send it to them. And in this day and age, we're going to be sending things by email. Ask them to read the information and ask them how we can follow up with them afterwards and make a point of following up with them by email, letting them know how you appreciated the meeting, how, and maybe adding some more information based on what they were mostly interested in. One of the things you can do in preparation for your meeting is to find out what committees that member of Congress serves on. So for instance, one of the people I'm contacting is on the board of the Committee of Labor and Education. So I'm gonna focus on education. But each person, you can find something that you wanna do. So, are there any questions so far? Because what we
let me say, I've muted everybody, but raise your hand if you want to speak, and I'll if you can't unmute yourself, I'll unmute you. Okay.
And Beth, you
see, can you unmute now? There you go.
I don't know if this is the right spot, but I just wanted to give just a broad overview about the bill itself. Thank you. So you let me know when.
This is a good time.
Okay. So as you all have heard, this has been a bill in Congress since 2001 when Dennis Kucinich introduced it and combined the aspects of international and domestic peace building. And he introduced it in every Congress until he left. And then Barbara Lee took over in 2013. And we added the word peace building instead of Department of Peace. It currently has 37 co-sponsors from all over the country. They're all Democrats. We'd love to expand that to Republicans too. It calls for, just to show how broad it is, Kendra touched on some of this, but it calls for an Office of Peace Education and Training, one of domestic peace building activities, one for international peace building activities, an Office of Technology for Peace, an Office of Arms Control and Disarmament, an Office of Peace Information and Research, an Office of Human Rights and Economic Rights, and then a couple of other things. And so with all those offices and with what Kendra said, there's a million avenues into what might interest the member of Congress you're connecting with. And you might also send them our organization sponsor lists. We have over 200 organizations that endorse Department of Peacebuilding, and I would think they would certainly connect with some of those. And we have 47 cities, counties, and tribes that endorse the bill, and all of this is on our website. So that's just a really general overview.
Thank you, Nancy. So what we thought we'd do is have a role play of a meeting. So Karen has agreed to be the legislator, and we would all be meeting with her. And so Karen, if you're ready.
Yes. Let me just also point out on the muting, if you're on a phone, you use star 6 to mute and unmute. So we're all in the meeting together here. So if you wanted to, you know, chime in, I think we're not going to go around and do intros to everybody, but it, well, Kendra is leading the meeting, so we'll let her talk about that. But if you have any trouble unmuting yourself, then just wave your hand. I may have to do that because I unmuted, because I muted you. But yes, if you want to speak, just get my attention or use star 6 to toggle when you're on the phone.
Well, I would like to do a few introductions at least. So is there anybody on the call that would like to be the intro? I'll start the meeting. And if you would like to join by introducing yourself, that would be great. So Karen, it's good to meet you now after our email conversations. And these are some of the people that I brought with me to talk to you about peace building and the Department of Peace Building legislation. I really appreciate your taking the time to meet with us. So is there somebody in the group who would like to introduce themselves and why they are supporting a Department of Peace building?
Good. I can if you want.
Yes.
My name is Nancy Merritt, and I'm from California, the Bay Area, and have been involved with promoting Department of Peace building since 2004. The part that really touches my heart, I think most, is part that has to do with building peace for our children and all the possibilities for peace education and peace training.
And I'll go next. My name is Kendra Mond from Northern California, and I'm with the Department of Peace Building Campaign. My dad was career military, and my mom was civil rights activist. And so what I realized over time is that I'm their legacy, that I speak for both of them, because they both wanted a safer country. They both were interested in protecting the rights of all of us. And so I speak for them. Is there somebody else?
Hi, I don't think I know all of you. This is an aside. I'm a friend of Ann Kreeder's.
Oh, welcome.
Yeah, and she asked me to meet with our local legislator. So I guess I would say, hi, I'm June Hammett. I'm one of your constituents. I've been in this district for many years and have appreciated everything that you've done for our district. Especially the work you're doing in Camden, that has taken that city from being one of the most dangerous crime infested cities in the nation to a pride of the nation. How the support you've given to the police has made such a difference in the way they have worked with the community, so that it is really a community policing. So I'm interested in this bill, and I hope you are too, because it's one thing to support police peacekeeping, and the next step is peace building. And I think it's very important for our nation and as a statement to everyone, and especially to your constituents, that you are ready to build a legacy of peace in this country.
Thank you. So I think then we'll go to
Well, and let me just say that it's good to meet you too, Kendra, and the people that you have brought with you. And I really enjoy meeting with citizens and constituents. I appreciate people taking the time to learn about current legislation And I've already, you've already piqued my interest with what I've heard so far, and I look forward to hearing more.
So Karen, how did you come to be in the position that you are? What drew you to this work?
Well, I was in corporate America for quite a time and wasn't pleased with what was happening in our congressional offices, and decided to switch careers and ran for Congress and won. And so I've been working for the people to the best of my ability and bringing fresh eyes to Congress ever since. And as you know, I'm on the education committee, so that is near and dear to my heart. There's so many things that can be solved with education, so I'm particularly interested in hearing what the bill, how the bill addresses education. And you know, as June has said, I've have interest in reducing violence and creating healthy communities that people can be proud to live in. There's so many things that we can do to reverse what we've allowed to occur in our country and our cities. So again, just looking forward to hearing what you have to say about this.
Education is near and dear to my heart too, Karen. And one of the things that I've been really interested in is right here in DC, where you are, Lafayette Elementary School, the largest public elementary school in DC, has a peace teacher and a peace program starting from the beginnings of elementary school, pre-K actually, all the way up through elementary school. And every child in that school goes to peace class once a week. They learn mindfulness, they learn about how to notice when conflicts are escalating and how to stop the escalation. And they take that out onto the playground and they resolve their issues between themselves there, and they take it home and they parents want to know more about it. So they're creating a culture of peace, and they are educating those children to be able to solve problems and conflicts themselves. I just think it's an amazing program. So you might want to go visit.
That's a good idea. It does sound impressive. And anytime we can get the parents more involved, that's a challenge I know in a lot of schools, if not all schools. So I appreciate hearing that. And and I'd like to learn more and see it firsthand. Thank you.
And so many of the teachers also say when they have classes like that or circles within their classrooms or a restorative person on staff, they say that they spend less time with discipline problems, that they're able to get more learning done. But perhaps somebody else in the group has something to say about education. If not, I just want to point out that one of the bills on our legislative list is to end corporal punishment in schools. So we're definitely for that. And do you have any questions for us about the legislation, H.R. 1111, the Department of Peacebuilding Act by Barbara?
Yeah, I have to say that I have not read it yet. So if there are materials that you can send to me, and I'll to see if I can fit in reading the bill in a relatively short order. But any other kind of materials that you would like to send to me that I can look over, to get a good overview, I would appreciate that as well.
Thank you for your time. I just want to ask the group if there's anything else that they would like to add.
I'd like to add that I have been leading and participating in the Season for Peace and Nonviolence at our church for many years. And I'm also part of a coalition of churches in the Camden and Gloucester, Burlington County area. And I know that we're all very, very committed to peace and peace building. So there are quite a number of us that would be interested in hearing what your position is on some of these issues. And we'd even want to hear from you if you feel free that you would want to speak to our churches. We'd really love to have a further conversation about this.
I am Thank open you. To that, yes.
So would it be a good idea for me, Karen, to follow up with the email that I have for you?
Yes, that would be great.
Yeah. Send you the materials. And I thank you so much for your time, and then we'll all leave.
And welcome, and thank you all for coming and for bringing this to my attention. And I will give it good consideration and let you know what my.
Did we get a cup of coffee?
What state?
I'm in New Jersey.
You're not muted, Nancy. We can hear you.
Okay. If we were there in person, I would now ask if we could take a picture with you.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
That's true. We'll need to do screenshots.
So, yes. So we'll take a screenshot, or I can have my camera there or something. But anyway, that we always like to have a picture of this. So thank you.
And as far as snacks, different states have different things. Like they have peanuts from Georgia. And,
That's true.
But they always offer you water.
Candy in Illinois.
Yeah.
They have all food bars for California. And unfortunately, no wine samples.
Really?
Water, but not coffee.
Yeah, they offer us a bottle of water, and of course we're environmentalists, so we don't want to take a plastic bottle, but that's a whole other issue.
Exactly.
Yeah. A lot of them are just a cup out of the water cooler.
So then we go out into the hallway, and we talk about that meeting, and what went well, and what we could have done better. And so that's what we'll be doing right now. Fernando, you wanted to speak? Can you unmute yourself? Yeah.
Yes. I have done a lot of lobbying and here in the state of Georgia, and it's always good to bring a subject and give them a copy of the bill of the something that you want to introduce. Like in this case, I would tell you, Karen, here I have a copy for you. Please take a look at it, and may I have a picture with you while you get the bill. And also, it's always good to strike the ego. So it's always nice to strike the ego. Keep that in mind and try to find a point that you can relate to them, like, Oh, you're in education, as Kendra said, I'm a former military guy myself. Oh, I'm from South America, and I'm very familiar with this type of thing. Something that you can connect and relate to that person, to the congressperson, that usually it works.
And connection, you know, a lot of what we talk about with the Peace Alliance advocacy, when we're in person as well, the last several years, we actually do a brief connection outside the office before we go in, kind of like we just do a deep breathing, like we did at the beginning of this call, so that we get centered in our heart. And representatives and their staff tend to really appreciate and enjoy our meetings. They deal with a lot of hostile people and tense issues, and they appreciate the energy that we bring into their office. We've heard that feedback.
I think they also appreciate that we're not pros. Mm. And I think also a big point is if they ask something you don't know, say, I will get back to you with that information. And it's perfectly fine not to know everything. And guess what? None of us do.
Any other thoughts? I certainly felt like I could have done better for sure. And I because we had gone over the bill already in our previous conversation, I didn't even think about going through the bill, giving an overview of the bill with you, Karen, which I should have done because you expressed interest, but I didn't respond.
I think it would be
a good point, even if you don't bring a copy of the bill for the congressperson, because they want to read it online anyway.
Correct.
On the Congress's website. They don't like to read papers that people bring because they could be doctored or whatever. So they just always read it online. But as long as you have a copy of the bill handy in case they ask a question about it, you could go to that section and say, well, it says here this. And we could send them a link to the bill and a follow-up email and so forth, but which is also on the website. Like you said, you listen for what's important to them or what they can relate to, and then see if you can, pull up a part of the bill that relates to that as well. Or from the talking points, yeah.
Could I ask a question?
Sure.
I'm new to all this, so sorry in advance. So
no, that's why we're here.
Bill's got 37 sponsors, co-sponsors. What's the pacing of that? So it was first introduced in 2001, like did they get a whole bunch of interest early and we're now chipping away trying to get one by one, or like, how's it gone? Is there a curve to it that you could describe?
I could describe that. Typically, when the bill's first introduced, both we and Barbara Lee's office do a big push, so they'll have a bunch of, they call them initial co-sponsors. And so that's how this bill went. Either right when it was introduced or a few days after, there were quite a few. And then it's been kind of very gradual. After Season of Nonviolence, we maybe got a couple after, our summer advocacy, a couple after advocacy days, some more. And then in the last few months, with all the crazy chaos, we have gotten zero except for Congressman Green from Texas, who we followed up with doggedly, because when we were in Washington last fall, he said, of course, yeah, I always am on that bill. And somehow it slipped through the cracks. So I can't even tell you how many emails I had with his office and Barbara Lee's office to get him back on, but he was just added recently. So yeah. You never know, but usually the biggest push is at the beginning.
Yeah. So I think you were asking going back to 2001, yeah. Right? Is that you were curious?
The history, I would like to know that too, because our representative, I think, was an original signer, but he hasn't signed this bill.
Is it Narcos?
So we have a handful of people that were on when it was Dennis Kucinich's bill that still haven't signed on, or that have signed on at one point and haven't gotten back on, and that takes a lot of follow-up. But I think more so it was introduced in July 11th of 2001, and I think they built up to about 75 or 76 co-sponsors at one point. And in 2006, it was also, it had a companion bill in the Senate. And every 2 years with a new session of Congress, it has to be reintroduced. So it gained momentum as a new bill. A new bill is probably about 6 years old. So it built up that momentum. And then it waned after Congressman Kucinich wasn't a congressperson anymore. And we've been somewhere in the 30s, I think. We might have been at 40 the last session of Congress at one point.
43, yeah. With Barbara Lee at one point.
Yeah. So, but it's been, right around mid-30s to mid-40s ever since then, since 2013.
So do you start from zero each time it's reintroduced?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Barbara would be one. So I think there's
not. Well, she's a sponsor, so she's not listed.
Oh, she's not counted as.
Among the 37 co-sponsors. Okay. So, and unfortunately, some members of Congress retire or die. So like John Lewis was always, always on the bill, and he recently passed away, sadly. So,
is it a legitimate question to ask the representative why he hasn't resigned? Or how would you approach that?
Definitely. Just say we don't know, because we say that in meetings. We don't know if this is an oversight or if there's some reason that they've changed their mind about being a co-sponsor. And so I know on a couple in the Midwest, we're still waiting to hear back. You know, we meet with their aides and or their staff, and they follow up, and we're not hearing back. So we don't know. Because we were saying, if there is a reason, we'd like to know the reason. Mm-hmm. And we could bring that feedback back to Congressman Lee. But so some do, and then some just eventually sign on. So we don't, yeah. But it's a legitimate question. It's a, tell them exactly when that congressperson was the co-sponsor, tie into why they think it's right up their alley, and they're just wondering why they're not back on yet. Yeah.
And you can ask a why question. Usually why questions don't get really good answers.
Yeah, well, they're not going to answer it right then and there. They'll just say, can you check in with the congressperson or the legislative aide and get back to us on, you know, if they're not going to sign up, we'd really like to know why.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the bill changes each year when it's reintroduced. Barbara Lee makes some changes, and sometimes they're substantive, sometimes they're not, but it could address some of the concerns. So for instance, early on, people were saying the bill, Dennis Kucinich's bill, took all the other peace building agencies like the Peace Corps and put it under the Department of Peace. And those agencies didn't want to move. They didn't want their turf to be changed. And so Barbara Lee changed the bill to being a coordinating department rather than a standalone. I mean, it's a standalone.
Overseeing. They're not overseeing other areas of the government now. They're cooperating and collaborating. Yeah.
Has there been any conversation about funding?
Yeah, right now the bill just says that it would be appropriated in whatever amount necessary. Okay. Yeah, it originally it was the equivalent of 1% of the discretionary budget. So I think it was, you know, like 1/100th of what the Department of Defense had or something like that, or 10% of what the Department of 1% or whatever. What is it, Nancy? Tell me.
Oh, it's certainly not 10%. It's 1% or less. 1%
or less. But I think it was discretionary budget, not of the Department of Defense. And then there was confusion about it's being taken away from the Department of Defense. So it was more of when they had a number, it was more of a dispute generator than anything positive. It was just to give a ballpark that it's relatively small amount compared to what we're spending in other areas on the government.
So Barbara Lee's left it deliberately open-ended just for a lot of those reasons, and because things change so much in the process till something actually finally comes into being. So she's on the Appropriations Committee, so I assume if when it gets to that point, that's when they'll talk numbers.
How many sponsors or co-signers do you think would be a success to be able to move it forward?
So actually, in reality, you can have one if it's an influential person, but that doesn't always have influential and a hot topic. I mean, conventional wisdom says that if you get, you know, like toward 200, then it's pretty obvious that's kind of, that's the way things are going. And also much better to have Democrats and Republicans on it.
I just have a question between us. What are some of the commonly known reasons why someone would be against the bill? I mean, it seems to me like such a good thing, you know, since it was started in 2001 and then again in 2013. What are some of the criticisms of the bill that are given to us as, or to you guys, or to anyone who goes and is promoting the bill? Is it money or funding usually, or?
Sometimes it's funding. Sometimes, oh, we don't need a whole department for that. Sometimes it's, oh, we're already doing that stuff. Mm. And sometimes I think one of the unsaid things is a lot of people are profiting from war.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't want to stick their neck out. It's until it becomes popular. A lot of people wait until something becomes popular before they'll put their name on it. So people that were on from the beginning were more about pioneers and peace building. Yeah.
Excuse me, can I say something about that?
Yes, Deborah.
Okay, thank you. First of all, there are many reasons, and it depends on who you're talking with, okay? If you're talking with some Democrats, and some Republicans might be this too, it duplicates, they think it duplicates the State Department. It doesn't, because the State Department is there for diplomacy for U.S., for U.S., what's good for the U.S. I mean, it's there for diplomacy. It's not there for peace building. And it works internationally. But that's one thing. They think it duplicates the State Department. If it's a Republican, oh, I mean, I can go into everything. One is, I don't even know where to start.
Deborah, I just wanted to say we're actually over time now, so we can't do too much time. But if you want to, something else briefly,
If the Republican, the whole thing about international and having, you know, international and what do you call it, occupation and all that. That does not fly. And bringing things together in an overarching anything is not Republican. As far as Democrats go, it just wouldn't fly. I mean, but even when the Democrats were in, it didn't fly. And that was when the Democrats had all three, you know. So there's just many, many reasons. It's... the one I think is the State Department issue, but there are a lot of other issues. They think it would duplicate. It's just not popular. And from what I can tell, there are a lot of people that don't even want to be told to wear masks. They're certainly going to have a problem with the Department of Peace Building. I mean, in this day, just look at it. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of, and there's going to be a lot of rank and file folks too, not just, yeah, we're in a very law and order mentality right now. So there's a lot of reasons. I could probably write them down.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And the bulk of them actually aren't can be disputed. But so thank everyone for joining us for the call. Kendra, did you want to say anything in closing before we end the recording?
I did want to go to my talking points to get the closing quote. Thank you for being here, though. We wouldn't kick a cop to Mr. Trump. If something were wrong with it, we would figure out which system wasn't working and why. How is it not working? Does it turn on a little? Are the wheels spinning too much? Does the battery need recharging? Are gas and air getting through? Like kicking the car, an approach to conflict that relies on military solutions does not figure things out. It does not distinguish between the causes of violence and does not address aggressive and defensive motivations. That was written by Kristen in Paradigm for Peace. And that's kind of the approach that the bill takes, that we need to address the root causes of violence. But thank you for being here.
Thank you. I've taken notes here, so I appreciate meeting with you today a lot. So thank you.
Bye. Thank you all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.